And when I play the theme song of Kurt Hennig, a.k.a. Mr. Perfect, I'm doing it for a purpose. Because our next guest, when it comes to predicting series that involve the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs dating back to 2015, he has been absolutely, positively perfect at 13-0. And I want to give him a quick second to gloat. Here's our Mr. Perfect. You know him by reading his columns in the Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette. He's also a great follow on Twitter as well, the one and only Rick Noland. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing well, and anybody in Northeast Ohio who's read my prediction for this series is praying to God that I'm 13-1 when this one ends.
Yes, you mentioned the Raptors in seven. Why do you believe the Raptors will win this thing in seven?
I just think that they're the better team. You never discount the power of LeBron, and that's what made this pick so difficult. The only pick I waffled on this long in the previous 13 series was 2016 finals with Golden State, where I picked the Cavs in seven. A Twitter follower actually said, "Come on, you really picked them? Why did you pick them?" And I'm like, "Well, honest to God, because of LeBron and hey, then maybe there was a bit of homerism in there." But I do my best to try to take where I live out of account and just assess things as objectively as I can. I just think that while you can make a legitimate case that the Cavs have a mental edge against Toronto and is in its head a little bit, I just think that this is a better Toronto team than they've faced the previous 2 years, and I think this is this is the worst Cavs team of the last 3 years, actually the last 4 years. But, Lowry and DeRozan, that's the two-headed monster at guard. The Cavs have done all right in that regard, but they've got a really deep bench. They've got a lot of size. I just think they can afford an off night from one of their big guns, and no way on earth can the Cavs afford that from LeBron. He's going to have to be Superman again, and I think he'll be close to that. But I think the Raptors just have a little too much when all said and done. And they have home court advantage, which is a good thing to have when you think a series is going to go seven games, and I think this one is going seven.
We continued to ask after every single game in that Pacers series, who's going to step up and help LeBron? And I think we got it from one of the more unlikely guys in Tristan Thompson, simply because he didn't play at all in the first few games of this series, but he played really well in the first half of Game 7. Do you expect him to continue to get that many minutes in this series against the Raptors?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. I think the Cavs are going to go with the same starting lineup tonight that they went with in Game 7 for two reasons. There was no real turnaround time between the series, and the switch I think will be made at some point is George Hill is going to move back in at point guard. I just don't think he's ready to play enough minutes to warrant doing that right now, but I think he'll go back into the lineup at some point and either Korver or JR will go to the bench. But I think Tristan will start, but I don't think it's going to be a heavy minute start. Number one, for as active as he was in Game 7, he really struggles defensively against Jonas Valanciunas, particularly early in games when the Raptors make it a point to get him the ball, and he scores. The second reason is Kevin Love plays very well offensively when he plays against Valanciunas, and the only way that can happen is if Love is playing center. So Kevin Love needs something to work to his advantage, and that could be it. So I think they're going to try to get him some pick and pops, some mid-range touches, and even some cuts to the basket by using him at center and making Valanciunas, who's not nearly as mobile as Thaddeus Young or Miles Turner or even Sabonis, he'll be able to get, I think, some better looks against Valanciunas in this series. And I think it's really important that he makes some early, because they need way more than 11.4 points a game than they've got from him so far. And, you know, he's kind of a rhythm and a confidence player. When things go bad, they tend to stay bad. But if he can get to a quick start, not only in game one, but you know, in each of the games, I think we might see, and I think the Cavs are going to have a much better and more productive player on the offensive end, because this series is going to be, I think, at least 10 points a game higher scoring than the previous one. You're not going to win many games in this series scoring in the 90s. You're going to have to score close to 110, I think, to win the majority of these games. These Raptors have a lot of weapons. And while the Cavs' defense was definitely better in the first round, I think a lot of it had to do with opponent and style of play than actual great defense. And I don't want to take anything away from them, but I'm still not sold that they can stop guys like Lowry and DeRozan and Fred VanVleet, even Valanciunas inside. So it's going to be a doozy. I think game one tonight, if the Cavs could somehow steal game one, I think it changes the entire outlook of the series, because of all the games in this series, when I made my prediction, this was the one game I felt strongly that one team or the other would win, and that team was Toronto, that they would go up 1-0. And if they don't, I think advantage quickly swings the Cavs from a mental standpoint, from home court advantage standpoint, and also from further getting in Toronto's head.
Talking about getting in Toronto's head, it took them six games to get away from the Washington Wizards in the 1-8 matchup, with Toronto being the one seed. What was it about the Wizards that kind of put the Raptors up against the ropes in that series?
Well, they have two guards that can be extremely, extremely good, and sometimes not good at all. And when they're extremely good, Washington is not a bad team. Toronto's, the one seed in the East, I don't know what that really means. Although, 59 wins is 59 wins, and that's a lofty accomplishment. But there really isn't a whole lot of difference between 1-8 in the East. As the Cavs series showed, they're the four seed, but I think a lot of people would have told you they were the favorite to win the East when the playoffs started. And they barely got by a five seed. So I think we're going to see, as we've already seen, a lot of really tough, prolonged series throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs.
We're talking Cavs with Rick Nolan of the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I want to get back to Kevin Love for just a minute here, Rick. You had talked about how he drew a pretty tough matchup, and really Indiana drove him nuts, and I think that was probably the worst possible matchup for Kevin Love specifically in the opening round. How much of what he did or didn't do in that series against the Pacers had to do with those matchups, if we're to put a percentage on it, and how much do you think had to do with the injury? Because that thumb injury is no joke.
Well, I have absolutely no way of knowing what the thumb injury had to do with it. All I know is it's his left thumb, and he doesn't shoot the ball with his left hand. He didn't shoot it with his left hand once in that series. He had no trouble catching the ball. So I'm not convinced it had anything to do with it, quite frankly. I think it was it had nothing to do with him not getting opportunities, because Cavs tried to get him the ball. He just could not beat Thaddeus Young in the low post. He had some horrible-looking attempts in there. He hesitated on several threes. Even a couple he made, it was like he didn't want to shoot them at first, and there's a hitch, and he's like, well, I might as well. And they went in. Now, he did come up big in the fourth quarter of Game 7, particularly you know, in the 3 minutes when we were all wondering what was going on with LeBron and was he coming back, he made a three to put him up eight early in the fourth, and he made another one after LeBron came back to put him up 12. And that, you know, in hindsight, was the beginning of the end of that series. So the Cavs need that Kevin Love to show up. And it should be something that you should be able to count on, not something that surprises you. It's a guy you should be able to mark down for 17 and 10 or 21 and 11 or 19 and 8. He's your second best player. He needs to play like it.
Well, how about Rodney Hood? I mean, what in the world happened to that guy, and why is it that he's totally disappeared? I mean, that's the kind of guy that you'd like to think that if he continues to do nothing, he's going to disappear and stay on the end of the bench.
Well, here's the thing. He was terrible, and he was still better than Jordan Clarkson. So both of those guys I'd have on an extremely short leash. I mean, Jordan Clarkson had 12 points in the first half of Game 4, and I think he had 19 in the rest of the series. He was 0 of 12 on three-pointers if you take away his 2 of 2 in the first half of Game 4. He and or Hood, so one of them's got to do something, or I see no legit reason to keep trotting him out there, particularly if I'm right in my belief that Hill's eventually going to move into the starting lineup. Then you can play Calderon off the bench as his backup. And, you know, if those two guys we just talked about don't step up, Jetty may even get some run in this series. They've already used four starting lineups. We could see number five and possibly maybe even number six of the playoffs before this series is over.
And we're specifically talking about guys who are new to this roster. Rick, I always wonder how much apprehension, how big of a role apprehension could play with some of these guys who had not played with LeBron previously. Now, they've had 3 or 4 months to get ready and play with LeBron in the regular season, but you think playoff pressure creates some apprehension on behalf of those newer guys to the roster, the Clarksons and the Hoods and the Nances of the world?
Well, I think Clarkson tried to be aggressive, but sometimes that was overly so, and he just got himself in more trouble and dug his hole deeper. He tried to create his own shot. He tried to be aggressive, but he just didn't have any success. Rodney Hood, I'm starting to wonder if he's the right kind of fit to play with LeBron, because he's more than just a catch and shoot 3-point player like Kyle Korver or even J.R. Smith, the lion's share of the time. He's a guy who needs to be in motion, who needs to run C cuts and come off screens, who needs to have the ability to put it on the floor and make some mid range shots. I think he's just really, really struggled to fit in from a scheme standpoint with the Cavs, and I think that's compounded by the fact that he's a really laid-back, type B personality kid who can get timid fairly quickly, and I think that's what they're seeing right now. But, you know, one good game can change all that, and The Raptors have some guys who aren't real great defensive players, and guys like C.J. Miles and Van Fleet, and you know, even their starting backcourt you know, exudes more energy on the offensive end than the defensive end. So maybe he gets some looks. Maybe Clarkson gets a few to go down. Maybe they play much better. But I've long been in the show me stage with all players not named LeBron on this team. I mean, just don't tell me about it. Go out there and do it. And, you know, even with Kyle Korver, do it more than every other game. They need some guys on this team that they can count on. And right now, the only guy that you've been able to count on every single night has been LeBron. I mean, your second leading scorer is averaging 11.4 points, which is like 58th over all the players that participated in the playoffs. And that should be almost impossible. But here we are, and that's what's happened. They're going to have to get more points from the rest of their players than they did in round one, or I don't see how they win this series.
Well, again, the Cavs and Raptors will tip at 8 o'clock tonight. We'll have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL. Our coverage begins at 6 o'clock with Tim Alcorn and Scott Cirilla as they bring you Countdown at the Brew Kettle in Amherst. Rick, we always appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. I may even have to crank call at Alcorn and Zarella tonight.
Hey, they would enjoy that. They would enjoy that. See, we should just keep the line open. You know the studio numbers. You can call that at any time. We'll let the producer know that a prank call might be coming in.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Rick Nolan with the Chronicle-Telegram, Medina Gazette, talking Cavs with us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.